Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Tanakh B'Shanah for this week. We are really almost at the end with only three... Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Tanakh B'Shanah for this week. This week, we're going to be focusing on Megillat Eicha. And I know it's not the time of year that we're necessarily in the frame of mind yet about thinking of Tisha B'Av or the Megillat Eicha. For a moment, we're going to get into that headspace. Eicha is a very interesting Megillah, in that there's no plot and there's no characters. So this cannot be a typical shiur in which we focus on one of the characters in Eicha or one of the plot aspects. Rather, it is a book of biblical poetry. And even when scholars and academics try to analyze Eicha as a whole, it's very hard to find one unifying theme. So they are often brought not only to not be able to look at characters individually or a plot line, rather, they also can't look necessarily at the structure as a whole. They tend to look at each parak as its own biblical poem and study it in and of itself. Eicha is also very interesting in that there's no reference to an author within the Sefer. In Chazal, in the Gemara and Bava Basra, it does talk about that Yirmiyahu wrote Megillat Eicha. However, there's no reference to Yirmiyahu within the text. They make this assumption that Yirmiyahu was the author based on very similar topics between Sefer Yirmiyahu and Megillat Eicha, and in very similar writing styles, that there are a number of psukim that you can pick out between Yirmiyahu and Megillat Eicha that seem to directly parallel each other in their style and in their content. So we say Eicha is not a classic book in that there is no plot, there are no characters, there's not even one overall unifying theme except that it talks about the Chorban and the destruction of Yerushalayim, and we don't have a clearly identified author unless we assume, as Chazal say, that it is most likely Yirmiyahu that wrote the Sefer. So how are we going to look at Megillat Eicha? First, we are going to look at through our shiur, one specific pasuk, but we are going to try to relate it back to the Sefer as a whole. While there may not be one overarching theme, it is, as we said, wholly about the Chorban Yerushalayim, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, and the city of Yerushalayim, and the tremendous tragedy that came out of that. And even these ideas that we already discussed contribute to this feeling of destruction and despair. The fact that there's not one unifying idea, the whole Sefer kind of seems frantic and all over the place, contributes to the feeling of loss, the sense of desperation that is throughout Megillat Eicha. By choosing not to name the author as well, it gives us this idea that these are the words of any person at that time, that it could have been just anyone in Am Yisrael that could have written this Sefer, that each person was personally affected by the Chorban, by the destruction, and therefore, even though no author is named, this could have been authored by anyone in Am Yisrael. So we're looking at a Sefer with no clear characters, no clear plot. Everything is relatively ambiguous. But what that invites us to do is picture ourselves within the Sefer, picture any member of Am Yisrael, and their perspective can be represented through this Sefer. So each person, not just the great Nevi'im, not just the leaders of the time, truly felt this tragedy. This is added to by the fact that there's no logical development or unity of theme within the Sefer, that it feels like it's all over. You can imagine that sense of no destination, no clear path forward from this terrible tragedy. And that's what Eicha, not only through its content, but through its structure, tries to convey to us. So to actually begin to delve into Megillat Eicha, it starts with the word Eicha. And this word, who everyone can imagine, those first words of Megillat Eicha that you hear while sitting on the floor, usually in a very hot, very dusty room that's not used to having people that close to the ground to notice how dirty it is, you can picture the ringing of the word Eicha throughout the Megillah. It's repeated not only at the beginning of the Sefer, but in Perek Bet and in Perek Dalet. It is the overarching question, the how, Hashem, how could this happen to our people? How could such a tragedy happen? It is a painful calling out to Hashem from within the tragedy, within the hardship. It's an eicha. And it's not just eich. It's not just the simple, short, terse word of eich. How? It's eicha, which Dr. Yael Ziegler points out, seems to add a sigh to the end of the word, that we feel like this is a tragedy that's going to last forever. We don't see end in sight to the destruction of the Jewish people. And we think that the destruction that happened here at this event will be everlasting. That the Jews feel a sense of eicha, Hashem, eicha. How could it be that this happened? How, if ever, are we going to recover from this? So we have this entire sefer that seems relatively lost. It's all over the place. It's frenetic. It's completely disjointed with no clear path. And then at the end, we seem to have an and then they lived happily ever after moment. If you look on the source sheet in the very end of Megillat Eicha, on the end of Perek Hay, the third to last pasuk we'll start with, Lama lanetzach tishkachinu ta'azvinu l'orach yamim. Why, Hashem, do you forget us forever? Hashivenu Hashem elecha v'nashuva chadesh yamenu kekedem. Hashem, please take us back to you, return us to you, and we will then return to you. Renew our days as the days of old. And then it continues, ki im ma'os ma'astani katzafta alinu ad me'od. Hashem, for you have completely rejected us. You have ravaged against us out of bitterness. And Hashem, and then we repeat again, in tradition, we traditionally say, Hashivenu Hashem elecha v'nashuva chadesh yamenu kekedem. We repeat the second to last pasuk after the last pasuk. So Rashi says there, Hashivenu Hashem mipnei shemisayim b'divrei tochacha hutzrach l'pol mikral shelefanav pa'am acharet. Rashi says, why do we repeat this pasuk afterwards? Because we do not believe in ending a sefer of Tanakh on a negative note. It can't end with divrei tochacha, with something negative. Rather, it must end on a positive note, and therefore we repeat the second to last pasuk. He says this also happens, v'chein Yeshayahu v'treyasar v'kohelet. This also happens in Yeshayahu, treyasar, and Kohelet, that we have thought we were going to end on a negative note, and it turns around and ends on a positive note. But as we just described, Eicha does not necessarily have a positive progression throughout the Sefer. Rather, it is entirely negative. And then at the end, it seems to just say one positive sentence, as if to have a completely negative story, and then all of a sudden have, and they lived happily ever after. This doesn't seem to fit. So I would like to ask, why do we end with Hashivenu Hashem Elecha V'nashuva, this positive pasuk of us calling out to Hashem, asking Hashem to bring us close to Him? Hashivenu Hashem Elecha, please return us to You, renew our days as the days of old. Why do we have to end on this positive note when the rest of the Megillah seems to be negative and the rest of the day seems to be negative? When it comes to Tisha B'Av, we don't seem to have this idea of we need to end positive. It is a very heavy, very hard day that doesn't necessarily have a silver lining in the moment. Why do we need to end on this positive note? It does not seem like it fits in Megillat Eicha. And then to compound this question, why do we use this pasuk often throughout our liturgy? There are many psukim about tshuva. There are many psukim about coming close to Hashem. Why is it that we use this specific pasuk of Hashivenu Hashem Elecha? When do we use it? We use it on every Shabbos. Emirat Hashem, we should be back in our shuls very soon. And when we return the Torah to the Aron Kodesh, we say Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Ba, V'tumcha U'mevashar Darachah Darachei Noam V'chol Nesivos HaShalom. Hashivenu Hashem Elecha V'nashuva Chadesh Yamenu Kekedem. We say Hashem's ways, the ways of the Torah, are the ways of peacefulness. And then we quote this pasuk and we say, Hashem, please return us to you. And again, in Maariv on Yom Kippur, right after the high of Kol Nidre, we use this pasuk again in Maariv. And we say, Shema Kolenu Hashem Elokinu Chos V'rachim Aleinu V'kabel B'rachamim U'vratzon Esfilasinu. Hashivenu Hashem Elecha V'nashuva Chadesh Yamenu Kekedem. Again, we use this pasuk at a high point. We say, Hashem, Shema Kolenu, please listen to our tefillot, And Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'Nashuva. Please return us to you. So I want to first understand, before we understand the importance of this pasuk, on a basic level, what does this pasuk mean? Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha, that Hashem should return us to him. V'chadesh Yaminu k'kadem. We are specifically going to focus on the second half of the pasuk, that we are asking Hashem, return us to the days of old. To what point are we asking Hashem to return us? To the point right before Megillat Eicha, when the Beis HaMikdash has for years been in disarray, as it says in Sefer Yirmiyahu, that even before the Churban, the Beis HaMikdash was left just a building of sticks and stones. Is that what we're asking to return to? So when we delve into this pasuk, we are going to look at what are we asking Hashem to do and why, and to what point do we want to return, and what makes that meaningful to us? So the Ibn Ezra gives one approach, and the Ibn Ezra says, Hashivinu, what is it asking us that we want Hashem to return us? Le'ir mishkan shemecha, to the city in which you rest your name, v'nashuv la'avdecha ki mekhedem. And we ask Hashem, should you return us to serve you, ki mekhedem, like the days of old. However, the soul does not explain to us, at what point do we want Hashem to return us to the days in which we served him in the Mishkan? Do we want him to return us to the point at which we left Mitzrayim? That is one of the approaches that is given. Do we want Hashem to return us to the days of Avraham Avinu? Just a total reset back to the beginning of Judaism. It's saying that what we're asking Hashem is, we're asking Hashem to return us to a point where his name and his Shechina rested in Yerushalayim, and to the days that we are able to serve Hashem as we did in the past. We're still not clear on at what point in the past that is. So the Midrash Lekach Tov on Eicha, right, Hashivinu Hashem Eilecha v'Nashuva, B'Yerushalayim Ir Kachacha Kivatchila, that we're asking Hashem, please return us to Yerushalayim. But we have just talked about the complete destruction and decimation of the city of Yerushalayim. We are asking Hashem, please return us to the city of Yerushalayim as it used to be. V'Nashuva V'Nashuv Kedichtiv Kolomar, Titein Lanu Liv, please Hashem, pay attention to us, think about us. V'nashuva al mitzvotecha, Hashem, please remember us and return us to your service. Please allow us to serve you again. V'nashuv l'kadmotin, and we should return to our past. Chadish yaminu k'kedem, kimei olam uchshanim kamuniyot. Again, unclear, it's saying we should return to the days of the past. Ki hakol yadcha, because Hashem, it's all in your hand. You alone can click the rewind button. We need a reset. We need to go back. We need to go to the previous days where we're able to connect to Hashem. We were able to be on a level to serve Hashem properly. Hashem, please bring us back to some time in the past. But it is still not clear when in the past we are discussing. So the Midrash in Eicha Rabbah comes to clarify at what point we would like to return to, that we don't just want to return to Yerushalayim. It seems to be that we want to return to a specific time in the past. And the Midrash in Eicha Rabbah makes a very interesting point and says, Chadish yaminu k'kedem ke'adam harishon, that we don't just want to go back 20 years, we don't want to go back 30 years. We want to go back thousands of years to the days of Adam harishon, to the beginning of creation. It says the word mikhedem is used a number of times in the story of Adam and Chava in the days of Adam Harishon. So it says, picking up on this specific use of this word mikhedem or kikhedem, we connect to the time that we would like to return to back to the days of Adam Harishon. It says the few times that it is written are in Sefer Bresha Parak Bet, Vayita Elokim Began Eden mikhedem. It says Hashem planted in Gan Eden Mikhedem. It says in the east. And he placed Adam there. So when it's talking about the creation of Adam Harishon, it uses this word Mikhedem. Again in Bereshit Parak Gimel, it says, "Vaygarish et ha'adam v'yashkim Mikhedem l'Gan Eden et ha'kruvim ve'et ha'lahat ha'charav ha'mitapachat l'shmor." So after Adam and Chava are kicked out of Gan Eden, it says that Hashem placed the Kruvim, the angels, to protect the Eta Das there. And it again uses the word Mikhedem, the same word that we use in our Pasuk in Megillat Eicha. Also, it might be sounding familiar to people that when we make the bracha at Sheva Brachot, that we say, Kisamechacha Yitzircha began Eden Mikhedem, that Hashem should rejoice with the Chasan and Kala in Gan Eden Mikhedem. We again use this word. connecting our pasuk in Echa, where it says Hashivinu Hashem Ilachu Menashuva Chadish Aminu Kekadem, it's connecting it to the story of Adam HaRishon. But this seems odd. Of all times in Jewish history that we could go back to, when we're saying, Hashem, we want to seemingly return to you to be able to serve you in the proper way, why would we return back to Gan Eden, specifically to the time of Adam HaRishon, when we immediately sinned? Why would we want to say to Hashem, please return us to a time that immediately after we were placed there, we sinned to you? It seems like a strange thing to say that we're calling out to Hashem from deep despair, from a place that we have just been so dramatically punished for what we have done, to call out to Hashem and say, Hashem, could you put us back into the time where we originally sinned to you? It seems kind of strange. So the Shev Shmaisa, a halachic work, discusses this idea. And he says, Davarza shedekachiu bo rabim. He says, many people have trouble with a specific question. Madua lo rata Hashem b'tshuvat Adam HaRishon. V'lo hishiv charev mehamavet el nidana. So it says, why did Hashem not allow Adam HaRishon to do tshuva for what he did? And he says, this is a question that has bothered many. That why did Hashem not allow Adam HaRishon to do tshuva and to get rid of the punishments that Adam HaRishon received? And it says in the words of the Arizal, "Debechita ha'adam harishon, debechita ha'adam haruach ha'eloki yeshev el ha'elokim." That when Adam HaRishon sinned, the godly element of him returned to Hashem. The al yedei ha'tshuva, and through tshuva chozer alav, it returns to him. V'zeh kavanat ma'amaram zichronam l'racha ba'al tshuva kekatan shenolan dami. It says that when someone does an avira, the godliness leaves from them. However, we believe that when they do tshuva, Hashem returns his godliness to them. And that's why it says that a baal tshuva is kikatan dami, that it is like someone who is reborn. It is like a new baby. V'alav ne'emar, v'im nivra yehalal Hashem. L'fiza kodem hachet, Adam HaRishon haya harchavato me'ito yisbarach, v'haya yatsir kapav shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It says, before Adam HaRishon sinned, he was completely a creation of Hashem. He was He was completely created by Hashem, down to the godly element within him. Shenatam lo chalkovera oy hayta shelo yachlav lehikayim be'ish. But he said this status could have never lasted in a person. Amnam la'acharachay kishenistalik chilek haloki va'acharkach kishachazar b'tshuva v'hachzira chilek haloki. But after Adam HaRishon sinned, and then he did whatever tshuva was possible, the godly element returned to him. V'harehu ki'ilu asat atzmo. And therefore, once Adam HaRishon did this tshuva, it was as if he had a portion. He took part in creating himself. V'haya v'chinat v'im nivra. And now he was in the category of v'im nivra, which is something that he took part in creating. V'ma'asei adam lo yachlu lehikayim be'ish. And therefore, Adam HaRishon was not allowed to do a complete tshuva in which the punishment of death would have been taken away from the world. Because a completely godly being can last forever, does not ever have to die. But once Adam HaRishon sinned and the godliness left from him, but he was able to retrieve it through his tshuva, he now had a portion of him that he had created, and any man-made object, any object that is not completely godly, cannot live forever. So therefore, Adam HaRishon was not able to do this complete tshuva of making himself completely into a godly being, because he would not have been able to exist in a state of forever, in never being able to die. Umeaz ila mavet b'chalononinu. And therefore, we always have to have death in our purview. Ubaze yuvan hadita hatshuva yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nashuva aznehiyeh yatsir kapav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nechyeh v'lo namot. So it's saying, what are we talking about in our pasuk? It connects it to our pasuk of Hashivinu Hashem Eilecha. Sorry, I skipped a line. Hashivinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva chadish yaminu kekedem kimei adam harishon. So it connects to the Eicha Rabba. And it says, what is the Eicha Rabba teaching us? By saying that we should return to the days of Adam Harishon. V'hainu sha'anu rotzim sheyeh muktam itaruta de la'ila. What we're calling out to Hashem here is we're saying we need a tshuva that it is initiated from Hashem. We need itaruta de la'ila, which is we need a divinely inspired tshuva here. He continues, and then after this, after Hashem is hashivenu, after Hashem himself initiates and brings us back to him, then we can be in a place of vinashuva. We are the Azniya Yatsir Kapav Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We will then be a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'nechyeh v'lo namot. And we will able to live in an existence of eternity. V'zehu kimei Adam HaRishon kodem chato. Asher rak b'shamru la'asot mitzvot Hashem yachzik b'kirbo hachilek ha'loki. La'ad v'yeh tamib r'vchinat b'er. V'zehu kavanat ma'amaram v'tzadik b'emunaso yechya. So what the Shev Shmaisa is saying, in a very Kabbalistic manner, is he saying what we need here as Jews immediately after the Korban, who are in such a low place, our actions have been turned away from Hashem for so many years. We have been so disconnected from Hashem. And he's saying what B'nai Yisrael are calling out to us are saying, we need to return to be like Adam HaKodem HaChet. We are not yet in a place of even being able to do tshuva through our actions. We can't connect to Hashem through our actions anymore. We can't build ourselves up. We do not have the strength yet to return the godliness ourselves, to be partners with Hashem yet. We're calling out to Hashem and we are saying, Hashivenu Hashem, Hashem, we need you to bring us back. We need to have Isarusa de la'ila. We need a divinely inspired return. We need Hashem, we need you to gather us towards you. We need to be like Adam before Achit, who was in essence, a godly being without his actions yet, just an inherent godliness that was separate from his actions. It was separate from his thoughts. It was separate from his ability to return to Hashem. He was completely connected to Hashem. And that level is eternal. That level of Adam Kodem HaChi is an eternal state that we removed it through our actions. And if we do the return, it will again only be temporary because we are not up to that yet. We're saying, Hashem, we need you to return us. We need you to take us back. We need you to replace the godliness in us so we can return to the status of being completely godly beings. We need to feel enveloped by Hashem's godliness in order to return at this time. Though we are in such a low place, we are so completely disconnected, we don't feel godly at all. We don't feel like there is this inspiration from Hashem to bring us back. We need Hashem to just take us back, to gather us in, to bring us into himself. So at this point, it's saying we want to return to the time of Adam HaRishon, to the time where we did not yet have to take part in our godliness. We did not yet have to do Torah mitzvot because we are not up to there yet. We need to just return to a place where we were completely connected to Hashem, out of Hashem's will, that we want Hashem to want us back, to take us back, to reconnect us to him in an everlasting manner. And the Sheh Shmaisa concludes with this pasuk of tzadik be'emunaso yechya, that we need to return to a place of being tzadikim, but not yet through our actions, because we are not yet in that place. We need to return to a place of tzadik be'emunaso yechya, that we can just learn through our We can just live through our emunah. We need to go through a period of time of being connected to Hashem through emunah, not through actions yet, because we are not there, but through our thoughts, through our beliefs, and through our emunah. The Gemara in Makos has a very interesting discussion where it tries to simplify the Torah down to 10 basic principles. And one of these basic principles that it lists is, it says, Chazar Yishayahu ve'emidu al shayim, shene'emar, ko amar Hashem, shamru mishpat v'asu tzedaka, ba'amos, so it's going through different characters that establish these principles in Torah. And then it says, Ba'amos v'hamizan al achat sh'ne'amar ko amar Hashem l'beit Yisrael, darshuni v'chayom akif lei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, ima darshuni b'chol ha-Torah kula, ela ba Habakkuk v'hamizan al atah sh'ne'amar v'tzadik b'emunaso yechiyat. So it says Habakkuk established one principle of Torah, which was tzadik b'emunaso yechiyat. That a tzaddik, a true tzaddik who is completely connected to Hashem, lives and exists purely through his emunah. That even before we're able to connect our actions to Hashem, we need to connect our beliefs and our thoughts and our being completely to Hashem. So then, is this truly a random statement at the end of the Megillah that we feel bad to just end on a negative note? So we end on a positive that Hashem said, we might as well give them some upbeat note at the end? No, rather this is intricately, completely, intimately connected to the entire Megillah. How is that? The Megillah throughout emphasizes, although there is not one overarching theme, there are many themes and trends that weave themselves throughout the Megillah. And one of these is that of loneliness. That it says in Icha Pasuk Aleph, Perek Aleph Pasuk Aleph, Icha Yeshva Badad, Hashem Eicha yeshva badad ha'ir abat yam haitak almana. That it says Yerushalayim is left alone, completely separated from everybody else. Ka'almana, like a widow. Rabati bagayim sharti b'medinon haitalamas. It's been completely abandoned, completely left alone. Again, in the end of Perek Aleph, Parshat Tzion bi'adaha im menachim la. There is no one to comfort Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is left alone. Hashem liyakov svivav tzarav haitai Yerushalayim l'nida b'neihem, that Yerushalayim is left impure and abandoned among the other nations. And again in Perek Bet, just to emphasize that this idea of loneliness, this idea of being separate, of being completely disconnected from everyone else in the world and really completely connected from Hashem, runs throughout Megillat Eicha. Again in Perek Bet, it says, haita adonai ka'ayiv, that Hashem is like our enemy. We are left completely empty, completely disconnected from Hashem. Bala Yisrael bila kol armenotah shichit b'mitzarav ve'arav babat Yehuda ta'aneha v'aniyeha. That we have been overwhelmed with mourning, with moaning, that all we are able to do is cry and mourn, that we are so disconnected, completely detached from Hashem. So we see that this pasuk at the end of Hashivinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva, we're saying to Hashem, we've been punished. Everything we have has been completely destroyed. We are so completely disconnected. We don't feel like we are possibly able to return to Hashem through our actions at this time. We are so lost. We are so abandoned. As we said in the beginning, there's this feeling of desperation, of just looking anywhere, searching aimlessly for Hashem. This eicha, this sigh, this mourning, it's so overwhelming. And we're saying to Hashem, we are so lonely. We are so disconnected from you, Hashem. And we're saying that throughout the Sefer. So that when we're choosing a point to end Megillat Eicha on a high note, it's an answer to what we've been saying throughout. That we're saying, Hashem, this isn't positive. We're saying, we're only asking for the very first step. And we're saying to Hashem, Hashiveinu Hashem, that we know throughout we've been mourning how lonely we are. And we're saying to Hashem, please, please, Hashem, we need you to take the first step. We need you to bring us back, to gather us in. Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. Bring us back to those days of Adam Harishon, when we were inherently connected to Hashem, when we could feel connected to you, even when our actions were not up to par. So we are calling out to Hashem directly in correspondence to how we've been feeling the whole time and what we've been expressing throughout the entire Megillah. So lastly, to conclude, there is a beautiful idea in the Kedushas Levi on Eicha that summarizes this idea, that we say, Hashivinu Hashem Elecha v'nashuva. Why do we have this pasuk at the end of Megillat Eicha? Dihine yisha dam shemegarish et ishto mechamat shematzaba erva savar. He says there are two types of divorces. There is one man who divorces his wife, that he found something disgusting within her. He found something that was irreparable, something that was erva sabar. It was completely disgusting to him. And there are those who send away their wife because they're just not finding favor in their eyes. There's nothing specifically wrong. There's nothing disgusting. There's nothing terrible. It's just that lo matachim be'inav. She doesn't find favor in his eyes. It's not clicking. The hachiluk sheminehem, and the difference between these two scenarios, when someone divorces their wife because they have found something that is erva savar, something disgusting within her, it is then usher to him afterwards to ever take her back. He is never able to remarry this woman. However, if he divorces her because it's just not clicking, something's not working, he is able to then in the future take her back. They are able to work things out. He is able to remarry her. We're saying to Hashem, we hope, Hashem, that you have not sent us away because there is something disgusting with us. And then it will be usher to ever take us back. We will never be able to fix what we have. Ze'eno, ki imma osma astanu, because it says in the end, it says in the final pasuk, that you should let us come back, because Hashem, that you have rejected us, that you have turned against us. Hagirishan lo hayarak mechamak ki lo timsachim be'inav, v'mutar lachzor v'lekeifotanu. We're saying, Hashem, we have done something that disgusted you. We are not disgusting to you. Ki ma osma astanu. That's the difference. It's not that we are disgusting to you. It's that we have done something terrible. So what we're saying to Hashem here, the Kedushas Levi is saying that this is a tefillah at the end. That we know our actions are not up to par here. We know ma'os ma'asana, we have disgusted you. But let it not be our identity. Let it not be that our being separates us from you, Hashem. Make it that we are able to return, that you are able to take us back, that right now we cannot fix our actions, that it might take time to work it out, it might be some time in the future. But we're saying to Hashem, Hashiveinu Hashem Elacha, please leave that door open, please gather us in, please bring us back to you, for we want to return to you even though we don't have the tools right now. So that's the message of Megillat Eicha, and hopefully we should be able to take this into our lives, that sometimes we feel like we're not in a place to do true tshuva. We can't necessarily change our actions right now. And we might feel despair. We might feel lost. We might feel like since we can't change everything right now, we will never be able to return. However, this pasuk gives us hope and says, Hashiveinu Hashem Elecha, that at those times where we feel so low, we feel so down, we feel like we cannot connect to Hashem through our actions, so how are we supposed to connect to Him? And we have this pasuk of Hashiveinu Hashem. That's when we call on Hashem. We say, Hashem, please return us to you. Allow us to reconnect to our inherent godliness, to our original connection to Hashem, the connection of Adam HaRishon, before there were actions, before there were mitzvot. And Hashem, please take us back and allow us to then return to you after you have pulled us close to you. Have a great rest of the week, and we will return next week for our final few shiurim.